You know, there are a multiplicity of things that stop people from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And all of these things fall under the umbrella of sin. But sin has the ability to manifest itself in many, many different ways. And I wonder tonight, if you're not a Christian and you've never come to the cross and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I wonder tonight what it is that stops you and what it is that hinders you from coming to the Savior. Maybe you're a backslider tonight and you have grown cold at heart and you know that you're not in the place now that you once were in with God. What is it tonight that hinders you? What is it tonight that holds you back and stops you from coming to the Savior? You know, the Bible tonight presents us with a God who is long-suffering, a God who is merciful, a God who says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God says that he is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And furthermore, God invites sinners to come to him. He said is in his word, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And not only that, but the gospel is for the whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is also a God who reasons with sinners. He's very reasonable. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, "Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And it seems that this long-suffering God, who invites sinners to come to himself, so often in the Old Testament scriptures pleads with the impenitent and reasons with them by asking them this question: how long? How long will you remain in your sin? How long will you reject me? How long will you travel the broad road? How long will you live in this world without God and without hope? And I want to look tonight at some of these how long questions that God asks in the Old Testament. And the first one is found here in Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 3. I call it the how long of insolence. And by the word insolence, I mean pride and arrogance. God said to Pharaoh, "How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me?" Was there anyone in all of the Old Testament scriptures as proud and as stubborn and as arrogant and as insolent as Pharaoh himself? It seemed that regardless of what God did in his life, it seemed that regardless of what did in the nation, Pharaoh was proud. Pharaoh was arrogant. Pharaoh was insolent, and his pride was not only the ruination of himself and of his household, but his pride was the ruination of all Egypt. The Bible says, "A man's pride shall bring him low." The Bible says, "Pride cometh before destruction." And maybe tonight the reason that you're not yet a Christian is because of a proud heart. And you will not humble yourself before God. And you will not humble yourself enough to admit that you're wrong and God is right and that you personally need a Savior. In spite of all the judgments that God sent to Pharaoh's house and to Pharaoh's land, Pharaoh refused to humble himself. In fact, he hardened and willfully hardened his heart. And God said to Pharaoh, "How long? How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me?" You know, pride ever leads to hardness of heart. And the Bible warns about the very real danger of hardening your heart. Four times the scripture says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice, then harden not your heart." The Bible says, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And maybe because of pride and because of a failure to humble yourself before God, your heart tonight has become very, very hard. And maybe tonight God's question to you is, how long? How long will it be before you humble yourself before me and admit that you need a Savior? Pharaoh had to lose everything, and he would still not humble himself. Will you have to lose much? Will you have to lose everything before you come as a sinner to the cross and admit that you're in need of God's salvation and in need of God's mercy? Maybe tonight the thing that has hindered you from becoming a Christian is insolence. The how long of insolence. And then there's another how long question that God asks in the book of Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 11. And I call this one the how long of infidelity. The Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed unto them?" The how long of infidelity. And by infidelity, I mean unbelief. I'm speaking about a life without God. I'm speaking about a heart that refuses to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord and as Master. God had led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He had led them into the wilderness and had provided for all of their needs. He had driven out Pharaoh and his armies from before them. He had led them by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. God had provided manna in the wilderness. God had provided water flowing from a rock. God had sent quails, but still there were many in the commonwealth of Israel who did not believe that God was who he said he was. And they were still filled with unbelief. And they were still filled with the spirit of infidelity. You know, tonight, unbelief is the root sin of the human heart. What was it that caused Adam to fall in the Garden of Eden? It was the sin of unbelief. A failure to believe in God's word. A failure to believe in God's love. A failure to believe in God's integrity. And a failure to believe in God's ability. And the Bible says that unbelievers will be cast one day into the lake of fire. Right after the faithful, Revelation 21 verse 8, come the unbelieving. And our Lord Jesus Christ warned us many times about the danger of unbelief. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Lord said to the proud, stubborn, religious Pharisees, ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. And maybe tonight your problem is unbelief, infidelity. And it doesn't seem to matter what God does in your life. It doesn't seem to matter what provision he gives you. It doesn't seem to matter what miracles he performs before you. Maybe you've seen lives changed by the grace of God. You've seen people converted, and God has provided, and God has guided, and God has shown you so much grace and mercy, but still you refuse to believe in him, and still you refuse to trust in Christ as your Savior. Isaiah the prophet asked the question, who hath believed our report? And we are living in a society of secularism, humanism, and atheism. All of these things are on the rise. And even in those who attend God's house and sit in church services just like this, there's still a very real danger. Because the Bible asks the question in the book of Hebrews, and it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The how long of infidelity. How long will it be ere you believe me? How long will it be ere you put your faith and trust in me? Why is it that you've lived so long and you still haven't trusted Christ? You still put a question mark over God's word? You still wonder about the cross? You still wonder about the resurrection? You still wonder about the necessity of being born again? And God asks you tonight, how long will you go on in your pride? How long will you go on in your unbelief? And then there's the how long of indifference. The how long of indifference is seen in Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 3. God has brought the children of Israel to the very brink of the promised land. But indifference has got into their hearts. A slackness has got into their lives. And they were on the brink of the promised land, but they're dragging their feet. And God said through Joshua, how long are ye slack to go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? The promised land lay before them. They had been brought right to the very brink of the promised land. And then they dragged their feet and they halted, and somehow it seems that they became indifferent. They didn't really care whether they entered into the promised land or not. There was no enthusiasm for these things. And God asked them this question, how long are ye slack to go in and possess the land? And many, many times you've been brought to the cross. And the cross tonight is the bridge of life that spans the chasm of death. The cross is the very gateway to the kingdom of God. And you have been brought in gospel meetings and in gospel missions and at funeral services and many other times to the cross. But you remain indifferent. And all heaven is opened up before you, so to speak. Jesus Christ our Lord said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. What was he saying? He was saying you cannot be indifferent about this. This is the most important thing in all the world, that you enter into God's kingdom and one day by faith enter into the promised land. One day the Lord Jesus Christ said to a scribe in Jerusalem, I perceive that thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So close. Even Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane was so close to the Jesus Christ who said, I am the door, that he was able to kiss the very door of heaven, but still ended up in a lost eternity. Abner died like a fool, just a couple of steps outside the city of refuge, and there met his fate. And if he'd only taken one or two more steps, he would have been safe. And David remarked as his funeral cortege went by, died Abner as a fool dieth. All because of this indifference, this slackness. And I dare say tonight some of you are slack, indifferent, unmoved, and unconcerned about your precious soul. I spoke to somebody during the week. Challenged him. He was talking about somebody who had passed very quickly from this scene of time. And then I turned around and I says, well, what about you? Have you ever thought about your soul? Are you saved? What about your salvation? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. and showed no interest in these things at all, a man into his 70s. The how long of indifference. How long will it be before you finally show some concern about your soul? How long will it be before you finally think about eternal issues? How long will it be before you begin to think about a Christ that died on the cross so that you could be saved? How slack, how indifferent. And then following on, there's the how long of indecision. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21, one of the greatest showdowns in all of Old Testament history, Elijah versus the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. You know, sometimes false religion just needs to be exposed and rebuked for what it is. And Elijah is about to call down fire from heaven to prove that Jehovah is the true and living God. But before he calls down fire from heaven, he calls the people to decision. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, serve him. But if Baal, then serve him. And the people at that time were undecided. They were trying to serve two masters. They were trying to live in two kingdoms. They were trying to ride two horses. And Jesus Christ said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Lot's wife, leaving Sodom, seemed to be so indecisive. And as she left Sodom, she kind of stopped. And she looked towards Zoar. And she looked back to Sodom. And she seemed to be so undecided as to what she was and as to where she wanted to go. And she became a pillar of salt. And the Lord Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Her indecision cost her her future, cost her her soul, and cost her her very life. How long will you remain undecided? You come to church very well and good, but you still haven't chosen Christ. You still haven't decided for Christ. You're still indecisive. Moses, before he died, called the people of Israel to decision. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed mayest live. And you too must decide. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But tonight you're undecided. You're halting between two opinions. And God maybe asks you, how long? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be undecided and indecisive? You know, it seems madness to me that some of you know that you're not saved. And you know that hell awaits. And you've got your face towards hell and your back toward heaven. And you seem to be undecided and indecisive about what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. And then there's the how long of idolatry. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 2, God asks another how long question. He says, O ye sons of men, how long? How long will ye turn my glory into shame? You know, we are living in a day whenever God's glory has been turned into shame. Paul elaborates on it in Romans chapter 1. He says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like unto corruptible man. And they still talked about God, but it became a God of their own imagination. We have forgotten who God really is in this land. No longer do we believe in an almighty God, a glorious God, a God who is sovereign, a God who is holy, a God who is righteous, a God who requires our allegiance and desires our unswerving obedience. We serve a God of our own making, a God of our own imagination. And it is all too common for people to want a God who gives and wants the gifts that God gives rather than the God who gives them. Now, I can testify that in my experience, my limited experience, I hasten to add, that I've met so many people, and they have wanted God at a crisis moment in their life. And then whenever God gives them what they have desired and what they ask for, they put God to the back of the queue again. It might be a young couple, and they pray for a partner in life. And whenever they get that partner, they forsake the God that has answered their prayer. Maybe somebody has prayed for a child or some great blessing, and they begin to love the gift more than the giver. And that's what God is asking the children of Israel here in this particular psalm. How long will ye turn my glory into shame? Can you not see God tonight for who He is? The God of heaven, the God of the Bible, a God of glory, a God of majesty and power and beauty and holiness. A God who asks you to give your heart and your life to Him and invites you to come. And then lastly, there's the how long of inactivity. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? You know, it's my conviction tonight that in this land of ours, like the children of Israel so many years ago, that there's a spirit of slumber in our nation. A spirit of spiritual apathy. Many people are sleeping in a spiritual sense. Even people that come to church. And not only do they sleep physically in church, but spiritually, they're sound asleep. The Church of Christ in our day and generation is a lot like the bride chamber in Matthew 25, where you had 10 bridesmaids, 10 young virgins awaiting the coming of the bridegroom. 5 were wise, they had oil in their lamps. The other 5 were foolish. They had lamps, they had on the garments, but there was nothing inside the lamps. It's representative of a life without God, but they were all waiting for the same event. And while they were all waiting, at the same time, they were all sleeping. And some of you tonight are spiritually sleeping. You're spiritually fast asleep. And whenever Jesus Christ comes back again and the trumpet sounds, you will be awakened out of that sleep, but it'll be too late. And you will discover that you're not ready. Now, I was reading just during the week about the revival in the Isle of Lewis, a story that I've read before. And one night, the revival broke out in a little parish in the Isle of Lewis called Ness, a small parish. And whenever the people come out of the church building that night in Ness, they found that the whole community was alive with the presence of God. Those who had left the church building couldn't leave the church grounds. Some of them were crying to God for mercy. Others were lifting their hearts in praise. People were coming from all around the community without being invited, drawn by the presence of God. And then because of the noise, other people came irate. And one woman came, and she went up to one of the church elders, and she says, "Would you people not go home and allow us decent people to sleep?" And that big elder took that woman by the shoulders and shook her and said, "Go away home yourself. You've been asleep long enough." And maybe tonight that's you. You've been asleep for years, even in God's house, surrounded by godly people. How long? How long are you going to live without Christ? How long are you going to remain in your sin? Until you die? Right through until eternity? Is it not time tonight that you were saved? You've heard the gospel before. And maybe tonight God is asking you on these 6 questions. How long? How long? How long? How long? How long? How long? Why will you not come to Christ? He offers you so much. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. His arms are open wide. And you need God's salvation. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need a new life tonight. A new heart tonight. A new hope, a new future, a new destiny. And it's all an offer. The Bible says, "Come. For all things are now ready." Will you come tonight? Come to the Savior and put your faith and trust in Him.